are friends with Fantasy Benefits.
Mike, how hard are you right now?
Oh, man, I've been hard since you said, hi, welcome to Friends with Fantasy Benefits podcast. But usually it takes time for people to pronounce that correctly.
I know, I sweat every time I start with friends. And
we are Friends with Fantasy Benefits.
Anytime, I say Friends with Benefits, even if there's a fantasy in between, people
I just think I think of the Mila Kunis movie.
We are Friends with Fantasy Benefits.
And you won so much money.
Yeah, I'm rich. You know, you gotta try and fit me in your time and schedule. You know, I sound like a pompous asshole is what it sounds like.
Well, the people are used to that.
We are Friends with Fantasy Benefits.
Welcome. It is week 6 of the NFL. It is the Friends with Fantasy Benefits DFS NFL podcast. And I'm Sasha Salinger here with Mike Werner.
What's up? I mean, I'm actually pretty proud that you were able to pronounce Friends with Fantasy Benefits correctly. I mean, it's only taken a few shows, but usually it takes time for people to pronounce that correctly.
I know. I sweat every time I start with friends and I just start sweating, like, just get through it. Come on, just one time. It's hard. It's a mouthful.
Yeah, I wonder who made up the name. Whoever did, more than likely didn't make any good decisions in life. So,
is it you or Justin?
It was a collaborative deal. Oh. I really didn't have much to
blame
do with
you
the name, to be honest. Like, I actually didn't start with Friends with Fantasy Benefits. I got added on later. So really, I have nothing to do with the name. It's more Justin and some of the other people that launched the website, previously.
Got it. Well, I actually like it. Well, especially for a female podcast host. It's, a little salacious. It's good.
Yeah, I agree.
It's a bunch of dudes talking to each other about fantasy benefits. It sounds a little creepy.
Yeah. I mean, we're trying our best to make an opening out of Friends with Fantasy Benefits, the name. I don't know. I mean, I guess we're doing okay with it.
Yeah, it's memorable. I like it. Anytime, I say Friends with Benefits, even if there's a fantasy in between, people pay attention.
I think of the Mila Kunis movie. Or Justin Timberlake, whichever way you want to look
at it.
Is
that the one? There were like two movies that came out at the exact same time with basically the exact same premise.
Oh, yeah. It was,
Ashton Kutcher, Natalie Portman.
Yep, Natalie Portman. And,
yeah. Mila Kunis, Justin Timberlake.
Yeah, I mean, it's exactly the same movie, so you really couldn't like one more than the other. I don't know.
It was so weird.
I guess it depends on your flavor in terms of like people you find attractive. I mean, I guess for me, I'm more of a Mila Kunis guy, but that's nothing against Natalie Portman either.
All of the above.
Yeah, all of the above. Exactly. I do just want to say, if you played DFS last week and you listened to the show, hopefully you won a ton of money because Sammy Coates and Cameron Meredith were recommended and I had them in a ton of places. I won a ton of money. So hopefully you guys did too. I know you weren't on with me last week, Sasha, but that was not your fault. Just so everybody knows, I am I'm hard to get a hold of in terms of scheduling. I do a lot of crap all the time. So that's 100% my fault, but hopefully we'll be.
So are you
scheduling.
Saying that I have no life?
No, you actually are very busy as well.
You're very hard to get a hold of. You have so much going on. I don't.
Yeah, that did sound like I was just such a big shot that, I'll try and try
and you won so much money.
Yeah, I'm rich. You got to try and fit me in your time and schedule. I sound like a pompous asshole is what it sounds like.
Well, the people are used to that.
Probably.
I know. I love Sammy Coates was great. Yeah, Cameron Meredith.
I know. People don't even know who they are.
Let's jump in out of order. Since you mentioned them, do you like them this week?
Their prices are, a little bit inflated based on what they did in last week as well. But I don't like Coates. I'll say that right now. Eli Rogers, who has been out for the last few weeks, he is going to be coming back this week. And, he'll be manning the slot. Miami is terrible against the pass. They're actually, hideous across the board. But, I guess this kind of piggybacks into, my analysis on Big Ben as well. But I don't like the Steelers passing game. If there's one guy I'm going to go with, it would be Jesse James. As far as Coates, he has a laceration inflammation on his hand. I know he has, you know, some type of cast on there currently. I don't think he'll miss the game, but the fact that he's up, you know, approximately $1,200 from last week, and you have Eli Rogers coming in, and I just don't like the pass game in general as much, you know, even though, again, Miami's terrible on defense. I don't like the situation at all for Coates. So at 4,700, I think, you know, there's certainly something to be said for the fact that he gets targeted more than anybody else, 40 yards or more downfield. But at least for this week, I'm going to be out on him. And as far as Meredith, I think out of the two, I would be more likely to roster Meredith because, I mean, they're just targeting him a ton. At the end of the day, you know, Brian Hoyer is almost, you know, not even going towards Alshon Jeffrey. In two games that Meredith has been on the field, he's played more than 80% of the snaps. He got 12 targets last week and then five targets the week before. He usually, you know, slots on the right side of the field. Brian Hoyer targets the right side of the field more than any other. And Alshon Jeffrey's also kind of hobbled as well. So, you know, Eddie Royal is hobbled as well, like he always is. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, they'll end up playing, but at the end of the day, I think Meredith is the better, you know, gamble to take. He's 600 cheaper than Sammy Coates as well. I think that I will have some Meredith, definitely more Meredith than Coates, but I don't love Meredith either. I think that a lot of people are going to be on him, especially since this is going to be a week where, you know, people spend up at running back and then kind of look for cheaper wide receivers, and Meredith kind of fits that bill. I'm just not going to be in for Meredith as much as everybody else probably.
All right. So going back to the Steelers, Big Ben, you said you don't like the Miami's added defense, but you don't like the passing game. I kind of like Big Ben not stacked as a quarterback using him because who knows who he's throwing to, because also Marcus Wheaton's there, Antonio Brown. There's not really a good guy to choose, but I still think he's going to be throwing a lot and getting a lot of points this week.
Yeah, I think this is Le'Veon Bell week, you know, for me personally. I think that this is going to be an absolute onslaught for him. Big Ben has like a checkered past in terms of his home road splits. Throughout his career, he's always played better at home. It's, you know, something everybody knows. As far as, you know, breaking it down, for this year, he's done, again, much better at home. He has 12 touchdowns as opposed to three on the road, and then the same amount of interceptions. The passer rating is 122 at home to 85 on the road. I mean, it's a significant difference. So, I mean, even though it's Miami and, again, they are not a good defense at all, this comes down to me feeling better about Big Ben at home. And since he's on the road, I don't feel as good about it. I think that they're going to ride Le'Veon Bell to the promised land. He has been getting significant snaps he's come back, and he's my top overall running back play this week. I think that he should be owned by 100% of people. This is going to be Le'Veon Bell week.
All right. I love it. And what quarterbacks do you like then?
Going down the list, I mean, we have the highest over-under game of the week, and that's Cam Newton and Drew Brees and the Carolina Panthers in the New Orleans Saints game. The Saints are coming off a bye week. Drew Brees is another quarterback, kind of like Big Ben, who does much better at home. He's just markedly better. The Carolina defense has been much worse this season in general. Their secondary is a mess. They obviously gave up 300 yards to Julio. I think that this could certainly be a shootout-style game. Cam Newton is priced 200 more than Drew Brees. I think that that's based on the rushing. Remember, Cam Newton is coming back from a concussion, so I don't think that the Carolina Panthers would be, you know, would probably run him as much as they have in the past. But I do think that he has the possibility of getting a goal line score here or there if they decide that that's a good route to go. But if I'm picking between the two, I don't think there is a right answer. I think Brees is probably in the better spot just because he's been healthy and they're coming off of a bye. Cam Newton is, you know, obviously suffered those symptoms, so we don't know if he could have an aggravation during the game, or, you know, something happens, he takes another bad hit. So I think, you know, just based on risk, I would go with Drew Brees. But Cam Newton, you know, slaughtered New Orleans last year. I mean, he went off for five touchdowns against them at the Saints' house, and then, you know, at home he ended up still having multiple touchdowns there as well. He has scored on average more than 35 points in New Orleans Stadium over the last few years here. So, I mean, for me, I think that there's really no wrong way to go with Brees or Newton.
Well, this is a must-win for Carolina.
Yeah, yeah,
they've looked so bad. Yeah.
They lost to the Bucks, my Bucks, which is pretty, I mean, it was Derek Anderson,
barely.
So I'll give him that. But
barely, yeah. Maybe, who's the kicker? What's his name?
Roberto Aguayo.
Roberto. Thank God he got one of three. That was, whew.
Yeah,
that won you the game.
Yeah, he's Definitely got some problems going on. Luckily, he made the game winner, though. I mean, that's like really what it comes down to.
Exactly.
And, you know, hopefully he can kind of gain some momentum off that. It's starting to be something that's more of a concern. I thought that, you know, he's the most accurate kicker of all time in college football. So people thought that, you know, yeah, it was crazy to take a kicker in the second round for the Bucks, but they did think it would translate at least to the pros at a decent clip, and it's just been bad. It's been, you know, all bad. So hopefully that changes.
It was all bad. Yeah. Anyone else you like quarterback wise?
Yeah, Tom Brady, I like again against Cincinnati. You know, the Bengals have been kind of mediocre across the board against every position. And I think that people just are going to be so gravitated towards the Carolina and the New Orleans game and a couple of the other quarterback options on the board that they're going to kind of forget about Brady, not to the point where he's going to be less than like 20% owned. But I do think that this is a week where you should pay up a bit for quarterback. And Brady is the third guy on the list at 7,700. The New England offense trended up in terms of pace when it's been, you know, in the bottom five all season with Jimmy Garoppolo and Jacoby Brissett, you know, at the helm. With Tom Brady coming back, they immediately, you know, picked back up, and, you know, their pace is high, which lends to a ton of scoring opportunities. LeGarrette Blount is somebody that I think is going to go way under-owned in this game, and I do think New England controls it, so you certainly want to monitor how that goes. But at the end of the day, I think that Tom Brady is going to get, you know, at least three or four chances at the end zone, and, you know, you can't really ask for much better than that. You know, for his career, he's been one of the most efficient red zone passers. And, you know, I think that this could be another situation where he does well. In terms of more quarterbacks, I love Russell Wilson this week against Atlanta. It's a situation that I think a lot of people also not really look or take into account. Atlanta's given up 3+ touchdowns to 4 of the 5 quarterbacks that they face this year. Russell Wilson's coming off a bye. He's healthier from that knee injury that he's had. I love the entire Seattle offense this week. So I'm going to be certainly looking at Russell Wilson for 6,900. I heard a little bit of buzz about Alex Smith. He's 5,700. I'm putting him on as a recommended play because I do think, I mean,
against the Raiders.
Yeah,
of
I do think that he's secondary. Yeah, exactly. I do think that he is a viable cash game option, but I'm just not going to be playing him in tournaments, people. I know that the game and the matchup is amazing, and I can't really take anything away from that. But at the end of the day, you know, Alex Smith doesn't possess upside, and that's what you need in tournaments. As far as, you know, the Raiders are concerned, we've seen them do terrible across the board defensively, but, you know, they face Phillip Rivers, who passes the ball a ton. He did have 4 touchdowns last week, but that's because they really don't have a running game other than Melvin Gordon. Joe Flacco, the Raiders kept to under 300 yards and 1 touchdown. Marcus Mariota, the Raiders held to, you know, just about 200 yards and no touchdowns. Matt Ryan had a great game, and so did Drew Brees. So are we really going to go and take it against Oakland that they've given up big games to Phillip Rivers, Matt Ryan, and Drew Brees this season? Not really for me. So, I mean, I like Alex Smith. I think that he's fine, but I would not expect him to put up higher than quarterback 10 you know, points this week because he just doesn't possess the upside, and they're going to run the ball. I don't see it.
So do you like anyone sort of on the cheaper end of quarterbacks?
I like Mariota.
Brian Hoyer, Mariota. Again?
Yeah.
Back-to-back weeks?
No, I didn't like him last week. But
he was amazing.
As far as like my level of hate for players, Mariota is like damn up there. I cannot stand Marcus Mariota. I do think that this is a situation where like DeMarco Murray I have as a recommended play because he's been, you know, a top 3 running back this season, and, you know, Cleveland's been terrible against the run. But I do think Mariota could, you know, do well in fantasy because he has, you know, his price tag is 6,100. He'll be highly efficient against a Cleveland defense that's terrible. You know, there's a case to be made for him. So that's the reason why I have him as a possible option this year, or this week. I'm sorry. Am I going to be playing him? No, because I can't stand the guy. But the Cleveland defense has given up 3 touchdowns to quarterbacks and each of the last 3 games they've played. They've given up over 300 yards passing in 3 of those contests. So the Cleveland offense has certainly had some struggles going forward.
Well, Cleveland has struggles. Yes, offense, defense, off the field, everything for Cleveland.
Yeah, you mentioned Brian Hoyer. I'm not in this week, and I think a lot of people will be, but you know, Jacksonville hasn't been as bad against the pass as people think. They actually are seventh in DVOA against the pass. That's a Football Outsiders metric for defense. If you look at against quarterbacks, they are 26th in terms of fantasy points per game given up, but that's also, you know, because they've given up, you know, multiple touchdown passes in three of the four games they've played. They haven't had, they've had no passer go for more than 250 yards against them, and Brian Hoyer is just not somebody that I'm worried about throwing for 300 yards again. He's already had two amazing games, but you know, with a couple hobbled receivers, the Jaguars coming off a bye week, I don't think that this is the play. I do understand it's a home game for Hoyer, but you know, I think you know, even Alex Smith I think is in a little bit safer spot, and he's 100 less, and I do think a lot of people will be kind of gravitating to that area. If you're gonna go cheaper, I would go Tyrod Taylor. You know, he's 5300. He has the ability to rush for a touchdown, which, you know, obviously lends to higher, you know, fantasy goodness or fantasy points, whatever you might want to call it. The San Fran defense is much worse on the road. They've been, you know, pretty bad against quarterbacks this season. According to the passing DVOA, they are 23rd against the pass. So, I mean, they you know, certainly have a lot of openings on that defense. But I think I would just go Tyrod ahead of Brian Hoyer if I'm kind of going really cheap with it.
See, I'm kind of going to disagree with you. I love Brian Hoyer this week. And I know Jags are very good against the long pass, like 18-plus yard passes, but Brian Hoyer doesn't throw long passes. He likes their short little passes. He has Zach Miller, Cameron Meredith. He's not using Alshon Jeffrey, even though he's been wide open in there. But I like him, and I think Jordan Howard's a beast.
Yeah. Oh, I love Jordan Howard. Yeah. I mean, I think with Tyrod, people are kind of just forgetting, you know, they're forgetting about him because he has no Sammy Watkins, but you know, San Francisco is just not very good against the pass. They've given up multiple touchdowns to a quarterback in four straight games. And, you know, at 5,300, I think the floor is pretty high for Tyrod. I don't mind. I mean, disagreement. We're allowed to disagree. Oh my goodness. You know, I mean, like if Hoyer has a good week, then I will give you props. I just, you know, I think that he's going to, you know, do fine. I don't really, you know, feel like rostering him when I think that the upside isn't that high. And I think the Jaguars are going to be I have them as a recommended defense for this week for me, because I think that their defensive line is going to be able to get to the Bears offensive line a bit. And
they're terrible.
You know, Hoyer historically has been a fairly bad, you know, guy in terms of efficiency. He's, you know, thrown a lot of picks in his time. He's just always been a career backup. So I think that he could certainly have a week where, you know, everybody assumes that the Bears and, you know, Jaguars are going to have an amazingly high scoring total, and it ends up being less than that because the Jaguars, you know, get a couple of interceptions off of them or whatever.
Well, I guess it remains to be seen. I hope I beat you.
I honestly hope you beat me too, because I like to be wrong. I like to figure out where I went wrong and, you know, stuff like that. So
See, I'm a woman. I'm never wrong, so I don't get that experience very often.
Even if Hoyer has a bad game, I'm gonna say, you know what, you were right, you know, because based on like points per dollar, he was good. And you know,
Unless he doesn't score any touchdowns, and then I'm just screwed.
Although I shouldn't do that, because I'm the one that needs more self-esteem boost than you, you know, like, or maybe I don't. I mean, I'm the one. You know,
The way we began this podcast, your self-esteem was through the roof.
It seems like I'm like Justin.
Maybe bring you down a little.
Yeah. It seems like I'm like Justin. Yeah, which
you're just
I'm
taking
not.
Over Justin's role. When Justin isn't here, you're just, the cocky asshole. I agree with you, Tyrod Taylor. I was actually at the Bills-Rams game last weekend.
How was that, by the way? Ooh.
You know, not if I had to pick two teams to go see live, those would not be the two teams. It was actually really fun. I live in Los Angeles. I don't go to professional football games often. However, at the end of the day, I'd rather just be sitting on my couch watching all the games at one time.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's the way a lot of people kind of look at it nowadays. You know, I know I've already explained it to you, but for me, it's just not having cell phone reception. Like, if I can't watch my fantasy teams live, then that's a big problem for me, especially my DFS teams. So, because a lot of the stuff pops off after, you know, a couple hours, and you kind of, you know, get a good gauge. And if I need to like late swap, especially on DraftKings, we don't mention enough, you know, being a DraftKings show, but like we have the ability on DraftKings to late swap if somebody, you know, ends up being inactive in the 4 o'clock games or the Sunday night game or whatever, you know, so, or if you're in a position to possibly win a tournament, but you have a guy that everybody owns, you know, if you want to late swap that guy out to give yourself a better opportunity to end up winning that tournament just by, you know, differentiating from the rest of the group or whatever. So like being at a game kind of, you know, hinders that possibility for you.
Definitely limits you, but at least it was the afternoon game, so I wasn't up against, you know, eight other games going on. And they're just, NFL just hasn't figured it out, or at least the LA Coliseum hasn't figured out how to show highlights of the games that are going on concurrently.
Oh, really?
Like, they'll show like one touchdown, and I'm like, who was that? What happened? What's the score of the other games? You'd think that they would, you know, update you.
Well, at least you saw a highly entertaining game. You know, I mean, two of the, you know, best offenses
in the league. I did
accept
that in my season-long fantasy. I was playing the Bills defense, so that pick six was real rough.
Yeah.
I was like, God damn it. And then the last interception is the last play of the game. I'm like, cool, you just gave my opponent 2 points for absolutely no reason. Case Keenum. Thanks. But anyway, enough about me and my Sunday afternoon.
No, you can talk about you forever. That's completely fine. I know for a fact I'm sure we have a dominantly male audience. I'm sure they're down to hear a woman talk more and more about their, you know, what they're doing. So
about watching LeSean McCoy run all over the Rams defense.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a good segue, actually. I do want to mention for quarterbacks, I forgot to mention Matthew Stafford. I don't have him written down as a play, but I do love this LA-Detroit game because, A, it's in a dome. We obviously have no weather concerns there. And, you know, I'll get to Tavon Austin and, you know, Todd Gurley, but I think that this game could blow up. You know, the Rams aren't very good against the pass, even though, you know, in terms of fantasy points per game, they're okay. They've given up multiple touchdowns in, you know, two of the last 3 weeks. They gave up 3 touchdowns and 400 yards to Jameis Winston. Tyrod Taylor, you know, he threw a couple touchdowns last week. Stafford has the ability to get out of the pocket and run, and they've given up a good amount of rushing yards in that respect as well. So I really like Stafford this week, and somebody that probably won't be owned much at all.
Yeah, especially after his last performance.
Yeah, exactly.
We have short memories. But yeah, so do you like LeSean McCoy this week?
Yeah, he's the, you know, based on price, he's the top overall running back for me. Across the board, San Francisco has struggled against the run. You know, I think that this is about as money in the bank as it gets for a running back. So, I mean, in terms of who you're going to be possibly playing at the running back position this week, Le'Veon Bell, I already kind of mentioned him against Miami. I think that he is the absolute chalk. Everybody will have him, but you should have him because he's going to go off. But same with McCoy, who has a $1,000 price difference in terms of you know, being able to fit into your lineup. So if you have to make the choice between Bell and McCoy, I do think McCoy is the more cost efficient one. But you know, again, kind of mentioned some, you know, stats for San Fran against the run. They're 28th in terms of running back fantasy points per game. They've allowed 100 yards or more in 4 straight games to running backs, 2 with multiple touchdowns. They gave up 100 yards to Fozzie Whitaker, people. So if Fozzie Whitaker can have 100 yards against the San Fran defense, I'm pretty positive that LeSean McCoy can have a great game as well. And if you haven't watched him, he's just looking great. Like, I remember McCoy last season didn't look quite as spry as he had a few years earlier with Philadelphia. But this year, he just looks like he's vintage McCoy, cutting in and out of the offensive line and you know, just finding holes. He really looks just as good as he did in his prime. So I really like McCoy in this matchup. I think that he's borderline the top play.
Well, he certainly looked good last Sunday.
Yeah, great. Right.
So let's talk a little bit about, like, the running backs by committees. Atlanta against Seattle, Devonta Freeman or Tevin Coleman. Do you like either this week?
No, not really. And this really is more of a sentiment to the Seattle defense. I'm going to have them as a recommendation. You know, Matt Ryan put up a pretty mediocre game last week against Denver, and I think that's probably what you'll end up seeing a lot of this week. They're splitting the reps a ton. Devonta Freeman is the red zone back, so if you are, you know, taking that into account when doing your you know, kind of DFS research, then, you know, that's something to kind of look at in terms of, you know, maybe FanDuel, you know, maybe his price is a little bit better there. And, you know, it's definitely more a bigger touchdown website in terms of FanDuel scoring than it is for DraftKings. Tevin Coleman has been great in terms of receiving the ball out of the backfield. I think that this linebacker core for Seattle is going to be able to bottle him up pretty well. So I'll be going against, you know, rostering either of them.
And what about KC and Oakland?
Yeah, KC,
both are also splitting the running back position.
I kind of like Jamaal Charles. I think a lot of people will, which is kind of my problem. I think a lot of people are going to be saying, like, oh, coming off the bye week, maybe, you know, roll with you know, Jamaal Charles. He is supposed to have some of the reins kind of taken off, and, you know, possibly be able to, you know, get more touches. He'll definitely get more touches than he did the first week back, but I still think that this is a situation where he's going to get 10 or so touches, and then we have to kind of bank that he's fully healthy and B, that he can, you know, be able to kind of break one long. And I just don't really feel like that's the case. I think that this is a good matchup against Oakland. Oakland across the board, once again, has been, you know, terrible on defense, but I'm not
willing
to
bank on that. We get it, Mike.
Yeah, I don't really bank on it. Like, Spencer Ware is a little bit more expensive at 5,400. If I'm choosing between the two, I would definitely go Charles at 51, but I just think I would do that in tournaments only. I certainly would not be doing that in cash games. If you're going cash games, I would just go the other side of the Buffalo game and go Carlos Hyde at 51.
All right. And Oakland, anything there?
No. James Oluwole, if I pronounce his name right, got the red zone look, or the end zone touchdown or goal line touchdown, if I can get that right at all. So, you know, DeAndre Washington, Jalen Richard, they're continuing to split work pretty much evenly. Kansas City's pretty solid against the run. They're coming off a bye week. Andy Reid has a checkered past in terms of being successful coming off a bye week. I think that KC will do fairly well at bottling both the running backs up there.
Yeah, and it's Oluwole is just like Seth Roberts for the Raiders. They always just vulture touchdowns from the big names, like a Crabtree or Amari Cooper. There's just always one guy that gets in there, and you're like, who the hell is this guy, and why is he taking away my fantasy points?
Oh, my gosh. Amari Cooper killed me last week in multiple ways. I mean, he had one call, you know, he scored
reversed,
a touchdown, yeah, and he got reversed, and, you know, he's had so many touchdowns called back due to penalty. I think that he's going to be highly owned this week, Cooper, and I'm fine with that. I just, I'm really upset off last week.
You're upset because he didn't get you more points?
No, just because I feel like this whole season, the first few weeks of the season, he kind of got robbed a ton. And then last week could have been even a bigger game. Yeah. And, you know, people are, you know, saw how great of a game he had in general, and he's going to be highly owned this week. So I think that, you know, this is the perfect week to not really play Cooper a ton just because he's going to be so much more owned than we're used to seeing him. But it's frustrating to me because I feel like we could have gotten more up to this point.
I mean, he's not done yet. Maybe not this week against Kansas City, but he's still going to have some more breakout games, I'm sure.
Yeah, I still like him this week. Like I said, I'm mainly a tournament player, and I think that a lot of people are going to be on Cooper just, again, because he had such an amazing week last week, and, you know, it's pretty much a top-tier receiver at this point. You know, I mean,
recency bias.
Yeah, but I mean, again, the Chiefs are giving up, you know, approximately 7 receptions, 60 yards, or a touchdown to, you know, 8 different wide receivers in 4 games. So, I mean, like, that's a pretty high probability of Cooper or Crabtree doing well.
Who else do you like for running back?
Obviously, DeMarco Murray against Cleveland. They're pretty much, they're a 7-point favorite right now. I think we could see that even grow higher as, you know, we get closer to Sunday. But either way, Cleveland's terrible against the running back position. DeMarco Murray is leading the league in touches.
The Dolphins are also terrible, if that's what you're going to say.
I was reading off the Dolphins. I was like, oh, that's probably not the right team. But yeah, either way, Cleveland's been terrible against the running back position. I think that the Titans control this game. Murray's getting red zone looks and, you know, being successful at the majority of those as well. It's a high floor and a high ceiling game for the fantasy's best running back thus far. So I'm willing to go with DeMarco Murray pretty much anywhere, which is tough when you have all these other running back options that you really like in terms of LeSean McCoy and, you know, Le'Veon Bell, like I already mentioned, Carlos Hyde as well. Other running backs I'm willing to go with, Christy Michael, another, you know, running back that is a part of Seattle. Seattle, I think, is going to absolutely torch Atlanta in this game. I know they've been, you know, solid this year. That's Atlanta. But their pass rush is pretty much non-existent. The defense is terrible across the board. So I'm willing to go with Christy Michael. Thomas Rawls will be out again. The problem with Michael is that he's priced up. So I do think that you'll get him at a low ownership if you're, you know, looking at it in a good manner. But in terms of, you know, cash games, I would probably roll with one of the other backs before Michael, just because, you know, there is a risk that Atlanta makes it a shootout type game and we, you know, or gets a lead early, and then we might see Michael, you know, get less touches overall. Todd Gurley, I like against Detroit. I think that this game is going to be a complete launching pad in terms of fantasy points. I know I mentioned the Rams and launching pad in the same sentence, but I do think that playing in a dome is going to be really nice for both the teams. Gurley's kind of picked it back up over the last couple of weeks here. He's gaining some receptions. Benny Cunningham is coming back, which is the passing down back for St. Louis, so that's something to monitor in terms of targets and usage for him, but he's still getting at least 19-20 carries a game, and probably will get another 2 to 3 targets in the passing department as well. So pretty high floor for Gurley, and Detroit's been pretty bad against the running back position. Lamar Miller is another amazing play, 6,600 against Indianapolis defense that ranks second to worst in run defense DVOA according to Football Outsiders. Lamar Miller is getting over 20 carries a game on average this season. If he doesn't do it this week, then I don't know what week he will. So it's about that time, Lamar Miller. We already mentioned Jordan Howard for the Bears. I think that he is the only guy that you can, 100% bank will get 15 to 20 touches. He's had 100 plus yards in 2 straight games. Really been just rock solid for the Bears. So I definitely give it up to Jordan Howard. I think that he's worthy of his 6,200 price tag. Like Theo Riddick in that Detroit game, like I kind of mentioned, he is questionable with an ankle. So definitely monitor that and make sure that he is going to play. I already mentioned Carlos Hyde. The last cheap guys that I'll go with or mention is I like LeGarrette Blount, like I mentioned earlier with the New England game. I think he'll be forgotten about. I like Giovanni Bernard against New England because I do
think...
Although
Jeremy Hill is going to be playing, allegedly, on Sunday.
He is going to be playing, but... Giovanni Bernard is obviously the passing down back. I expect New England to get up early. And on top of that, Bernard, played a lot of the snaps last week with Jeremy Hill hurting. We could see a, situation where the injury kind of reoccurs and he ends up getting a setback or whatever in Hill. So maybe Giovanni Bernard picks up more snaps that way. He's a decent tournament gamble at 4,600. And then Darren Sproles as well, 4,400 against Washington. Washington's been bottom 5 in run defense this season. Sproles has been carving out at least 6 to 10 targets per week in the passing game. So he certainly is somebody that I think has a very high floor and a solid price as well against Washington, who again just has a really hard time stuffing the running back position. Some people might gravitate to Ryan Matthews, but he can barely stay on the field, so I'm not willing to do that.
All right. What about James White?
Nah.
Okay. I don't know. We're on the passing down back train. Nope. We're off the James White train.
Right? Now, only reason is because I know that he'll get 5 to 7 targets in the pass game, but I just don't know if he'll score, and that's really what you're banking on.
His ceiling is so low. That's what I mean.
I mean, he could very well score 2 touchdowns this week, but good luck predicting that because you have Chris Hogan, Danny Amendola, Martellus Bennett, Rob Gronkowski, Julian Edelman, James White, LeGarrette Blount. I mean, these are all guys in the offense that, Malcolm Mitchell as well. Like these are all guys that are getting targets and such, so it's really hard to pinpoint. I won't go against it. I'm saying nah, but that's just because I can't predict where Tom Brady's going to throw it. So at the very end of the day, like, I'm down to go with Tom Brady, and then, pretty much naked Tom Brady is what you would call it, with not, not rostering any of the pass catchers, but going with Tom Brady.
All right. So you did recommend Brady, and you did say you like him, and he is playing at home, but you're not going to
pair
him with a receiver.
Anybody. Yeah.
All right.
I'm not going to pair him with anybody.
Well, then what wide receivers do you like?
All right.
All the Patriot wide receivers are out.
Yeah, you're going to be fading Antonio Brown at 10,000 because that's just ridiculous. I understand, Miami's been bad and, all that stuff. But, if I'm not liking Big Ben...
30 to 40 points from him. That's insane. Well, you have to get, 3 to 4x their salary.
And that means that he has to go for 100 yards and 2 touchdowns, period. And, yes, the Miami, defense has allowed multiple wide receiver scores, 100-plus receiving yards or 92 yards and a touchdown in all of their games to a wide receiver. So somebody on each team that they faced has gotten any of those things happen. And, I understand that. But at the end of the day, I'm not going to go with that at 10,000.
We discussed earlier, there's so many other receiving options for Big Ben too.
Yeah. And so, I also, I'm just
not
going
to all go to Antonio Brown.
As much as, I was talking about Big Ben splits home and away. Antonio Brown has very similar splits. I mean, obviously that's a byproduct of Big Ben having, the home road split issue. But, at the end of the day, it's not something that I'm willing to bank on. Again, Miami's terrible, but they have to, there's just something about the Pittsburgh offense. They win the Philly, and Philly's a great defense, but they got shut out, which, that Pittsburgh offense should never get shut out. This just feels like a game in Miami where the offense won't lay an egg, but I think that is just such a Le'Veon Bell heavy game, you know, and that's what I'm kind of banking on there.
Got a huge hard on for Le'Veon Bell this weekend.
Yeah, and that's, you know, kind of understating it. Raging is the way I would kind of describe all of that.
Raging. Like, call your doctor because it's been up over 4 hours.
It's been way over 4 hours. Way over 4 hours. Julio, I'm fading against Seattle, but I do like Odell Beckham against Baltimore. I don't know why I can't just stop liking Odell Beckham Jr., but I continue to do so. I'm, you know, he got a touchdown last week, which is nice, but Eli has just looked terrible. Manning has looked like one of the worst quarterbacks in the league. And, you know, I'm hoping that this kind of rides, the ship kind of rights itself over time. But Baltimore, you know, they're kind of a, you know, they're mediocre, even though they're kind of hiding it well. Their tops, or they at least going into last week, were tops in the league in terms of yardage given up on defense. Wide receiver wise, they give up they're 19th in wide receiver fantasy points per game. They've allowed 3 wide receivers to score 2 touchdowns in 3 of the last 4. And, you know, I just think that this is a situation where either Sterling Shepard or Odell Beckham Jr. can have a pretty nice game. I think in tournaments, Beckham is going to be so low owned that you might have the opportunity to get him at, you know, what, 5, 6, 7, 8%, you know, ownership, which is really nice in terms of wanting to, you know, be different from the pack. So, you know, I think that Beckham is a nice play. At the end of the day, like, you have to, like, really gauge whether you feel good, comfortable with that risk. I don't know if you would do or not, but for me, I'll probably have a little bit of a tournament exposure. Let's see. Jordy Nelson is a safe play at 8,000. I don't love the upside, though, for this week. Allen Robinson, I love at 7,800. I think the Bears and Jacksonville game won't be the highest scoring game in the world, but I do think that this is a situation where Allen Robinson is kind of just due to – he hasn't had a 100-yard game yet this year. He has had a couple games where he scored a touchdown or two, but coming off the bye week, I think, you know, he'll do fairly well against the Bears defense that's lost Kyle Fuller. They've lost multiple linebackers. They're kind of due to regress, in my opinion. Excuse me. Brandon Cooks against Carolina, I really like. You know, again, just kind of piggybacking off that New Orleans Carolina game. Again, like Amari Cooper. Don't really care for the Texans wide receivers. I think if I was going to pick between the two, I would go Will Fuller, but I'm not really looking that way. I think a lot of people are going to be going cheaper at wide receiver this week. So, you know, a lot of the high-end wide receivers, if you're looking to target one, I would go Allen Robinson if you're, you know, going to go that high. If you're, you know, kind of going even more expensive than, I suppose, Odell Beckham. But for the most part, I'm not going to be really targeting some of these high-end guys. The kind of mid-tier, Marvin Jones, 7,200. I already kind of mentioned how much I like that LA-Detroit game. Marvin Jones has been a top 5 receiver in fantasy and on DraftKings this year so far. I really like Jarvis Landry at 6,800 against Pittsburgh. You know, if we're kind of banking on, you know, Pittsburgh kind of, you know, being more Le'Veon Bell heavy, that means that they're probably leading in the game. Jarvis Landry does really well against a Steelers team that plays a lot of man coverage. He can kind of beat that anytime he wants. Still heavy target share usage across the board for Landry. So I think that he has a pretty solid floor. I'm willing to go with him. Jeremy Maclin against Oakland. If you like Alex Smith, then you certainly want to play Jeremy Maclin if you're, you know, trying to go that route. Kind of going lower down the field, Michael Thomas against Carolina. If Willie Snead is limited, then I think that Michael Thomas will have a really nice game at 4,300. Willing to go with him. My favorite play of the day, or my favorite two plays of the day, which, you know, are low-end wide receivers. Number one is Tavon Austin. He's getting a top 10 target share amount on his team. So he's getting over 30% of his of the targets for the Rams. Again, going to be playing in a dome, which I really love for him. His speed will play. I'm just kind of you know, throwing a Hail Mary here with Tavon Austin, but he's a cheap receiver. He kind of fits that mold that everybody wants to do this week, which is high-end running back and then kind of paying down from receivers. So that's kind of my shot in the dark with Tavon Austin. Ted Ginn Jr., there's always like one of those games, and Ted Ginn at 3,900 against New Orleans, I think this could be the week. I thought it could be the week a couple weeks ago as well, and that didn't work out, but if Ted Ginn can just catch, you know, 30% of what's thrown his way, then maybe he'll you know, get a 60-yard touchdown and pay off that 3,900 tag. So I love Ted Ginn this week. I think that, you know, nobody will be really worried about it or thinking about it with him because they're going to be so kind of infatuated with like Kelvin Benjamin and such. But I think that Ted Ginn is going to be the better play. The players that I have in my lineup currently are Tavon Austin, Doug Baldwin, who was in my lineup, so I didn't really mention him earlier, but Doug Baldwin is my top receiver play on the week based on price. 6,500, that's past the 20th DraftKings receiver, and he has a high target share. He gets looked at in the red zone. Atlanta is terrible against the pass this year. Desmond Trufant stays on one side of the field, and Doug Baldwin likes to play at the slot a ton. I love Russell Wilson to Doug Baldwin in terms of a stack, if you want to go that route, maybe throw in Michael as well, maybe even Jimmy Graham once we get to tight ends. But Doug Baldwin, Tavon Austin, and and Tengen are the guys that I've been kind of rolling with in the majority of my tournament lineups thus far.
What do you think about Devonta Adams if Randall Cobb is limited?
I hate Devonta Adams. So
great, strong opinion.
Yeah,
hot take.
He's a bottom 10 receiver in terms of PFF grades. He has gotten lucky and gotten a couple touchdowns this year, which I give him credit for. I just think that it's going to be kind of something that baits you and then, you know, ends up, you know, hurting you in the end. I mean, we've seen this with Devonta Adams before. He'll do okay when nobody is worried about him or looking at him. And then, you know, whenever you do rely on him, like week one last year, he ends up shit in the bed. So I'm pretty much out on Devonta Adams. I think that's not going to be a big game in general. The Green Bay game. The Green Bay Dallas game, I'm just not really into.
Yeah, I haven't really talked about it at all. We didn't talk about Ezekiel Elliott. We didn't really talk about anyone.
Exploded. I mean, Ezekiel Elliott, that was my one mistake from last week, was not having enough Zeke Elliott. I just kind of didn't think about it. But that's the same. I mean, I'm not saying that LeGarrette Blount is just as talented as Ezekiel Elliott, but I do think that there's a situation where the Patriots get up so much that we can see Blount, you know, get another 50, 60 yards in the second half with a touchdown or two, and nobody will own him.
Yeah, I'm avoiding most people, but we haven't talked about the person we talked about before we started this podcast, Kamar Aiken.
Oh my goodness, yeah.
Value play of the week.
Thank God you reminded me of him. 3,000. We are going to be seeing Steve Smith and his 7.5 to 8 targets per game sit this week due to that ankle injury. He primarily is in the slot, which is really good. And the Giants have been, you know, pretty bad against slot receivers this year. 3,000 min price. I think he's going to be heavily owned, but I do really like the price overall. I also didn't mention Tyler Lockett. He had a PCL sprain prior to last week, and you know, he has had the bye week to kind of rest. They really haven't targeted him much in the past game, but I think that there's worse tournament darts than Tyler Lockett. He has immense talent. We've always kind of known that. He was a sleeper going into season-long drafts this year. 3,600 is his price. I'm glad you mentioned Kamar Aiken, because I completely wrote them off my list. But Aiken and Lockett, I think, are really nice, like, gamble, you know, later on gambles to take if you want to go that route in tournaments. I'm telling you, it's Ted Ginn week, though. I have this hunch it's a 2-touchdown Ted Ginn week.
He's just going to return the first punt for a touchdown, and you're just going to feel so good about yourself.
Yeah, I'm going to be, again, a pompous asshole going into next week's show.
Can't wait. Maybe I'll have to call in sick for the third time in 7 weeks.
Yeah, sorry, Sasha. I'm going to be out tonight. I apologize. Yeah.
All right, moving on to tight ends. Let's talk about Jimmy Graham, because you mentioned him earlier.
I love him this week. If you want to put it in perspective, right, like, he used to be a top-end tight end that would be, you know, slotted first, second, or third in terms of pricing each and every week. Well, now we have Greg Olsen up top at 7,000, but we've seen Jimmy Graham, you know, before going into the bye week, have six receptions for 100 yards or more in two straight games against two pretty solid defenses against the tight end position, over 20 points in terms of DraftKings points, 3,000 on the first or in week three, which means that the 24 points he got was 8 times value. Week four, the 20 points he got was 5 times value because he was 4,000. I mean, he's slid up to 4,900, and that's just not enough. Atlanta is not good against the tight end position. They're not good against pass catchers in general, and Jimmy Graham has done great against them in his career. If you look historically, he's done very well. Again, Atlanta has given up 5 touchdowns already this season to the tight end position, on average 13 fantasy points a game. I love Graham this week. He's the guy that I have slotted in right now. There's a few other really nice options as well, but Graham is right up there.
Yeah, I really, I mean, we were talking before the podcast. I pretty much love all the top tight ends this week. I love Travis Kelce. Oakland's never been good at defending against a tight end, like, the last 2 years.
Absolutely. Yeah. No, Oakland was bottom 5 last year, kind of like you're, you know, mentioning here. And against the tight end position this year, they're 27th in fantasy points per game. They've allowed 59 yards and or a touchdown to 5 different tight ends this season. So, you know, there's certainly openings for Travis Kelce. I think a lot of people will forget about him as well. I have heard him kind of gain some more steam recently, but with Greg Olsen up top, I guess we'll kind of, you know, let that out of the bag. Greg Olsen's up top against New Orleans, who everybody knows New Orleans at home on defense is just not a very good squad at all. So of course, you know, you're going to see Greg Olsen up there, and he's had multiple good games in a row, but as far as the price, I'm just not willing to go that route. I mean, 7,000 is a ton to pay when you have so many other options to go with. And, you know, really, if you look at it for the year, the New Orleans Saints have faced Clive Walford. They held him to 25 yards. They held the Giants tight ends to, you know, 34 yards total. They held Jacob Tammy to 28 yards. The only good game they've given up was to Hunter Henry in week 4, and that was for 60 yards and a touchdown. Greg Olsen is obviously more talented than all of them combined, but I'm not going to pay $7,000 because he would still have to end up with 7 or 8 receptions for 80, 90 yards and maybe 1 or 2 touchdowns to pay off the price tag.
Which is probably not going to happen.
I just went on a tangent. I apologize.
It's the Ted Ginn week. We already know this.
Exactly.
Avoid everyone else in Carolina.
If Devin Funchess scores like 2 touchdowns, I'm going to be so heated.
You're going to lose your mind. Or Fozzie Whitaker, Jonathan Stewart, and Cameron Artis Payne just all have touchdowns.
Oh my God. I would literally throw something. Literally. You did.
Delaney. Yeah.
Well, no, you mentioned Jordan Reed. I just, you know, again, everybody will probably hear this, but Jordan Reed is going to be out for this game. They haven't said it officially, but he's missed multiple, you know, practices this week due to a concussion. I believe it's his 4th of his career already, fifth. There you go. Like, that's really, really concerning for his, you know, long-term prognosis. I'm hoping that it's not career-ending. That's how severe I think that this could be. Even if it's minor, the fact that it's his 5th is something that's absolutely alarming to me.
It's really, and he's such a force to be reckoned with. He's so good. Hoping for his health and hope he gets to stay with Washington because he's their only real threat. I mean, we obviously haven't mentioned anyone else on the Redskins.
Yeah, I'm not interested. This podcast. I'm not interested. They're divvying up their target share. I loved Crowder, and if you're going to go with one of the pass catchers, I think Crowder is the guy that I would maybe take a shot on. His price is still solid. It's at around 4,000, but I'm just. You know, they're kind of divvying it up to, you know, Pierre Garçon has gotten into the act now. And then you have DeSean Jackson, who's getting, you know, 7 to 8 targets a game. And then, you know, you sprinkle in Jameson Crowder. You have Matt Jones as well. I'm not interested in any of them because I don't see one that you can bank on. And
too many mediocre.
Yeah. And even if you're looking for tournament upside, there's way more upside later on in terms of pricing than DeSean Jackson. He's just not as good anymore. And Kirk Cousins has been terrible. I mean, you can't bank on Kirk Cousins, even though, you know, you think that the volume is going to be there for them. They don't pass enough anymore with Matt Jones kind of gaining some steam the last few weeks.
What about Delaney Walker?
Love. Heart. I'm shaping a heart right next to my chest right now. Yeah, the tight end position, the Cleveland Browns are dead last against the tight end position this season so far. They've allowed 5 touchdowns and 260 yards over the last 2 weeks to the tight end position. Mind you, that's heavily skewed by the Martellus Bennett game, which I called as well. Sorry, not to be pompous again, but, you know, they gave up 9 for 102 to Dennis Pitta, 4 for 46 to the thing called Deion Sims, and then 6 for 58 to Zach Ertz. The other 3 weeks after, you know, getting again, you know, demolished by Martellus Bennett. So across the board, there's nothing not to like for Delaney Walker. He's a stud. If I didn't like Graham so much, I would go with Walker. And we saw Walker finally, you know, kind of pick things back up last week after kind of a 3 mediocre weeks this year. I mean, over the course of, you know, through week 4, he only had a total of 11, you know, DraftKings points. Or I'm sorry, I completely misread that. He only had a total of 11 receptions. And that's not something that we usually see from Walker. Usually Walker is in the 5 to 8 reception a game type category. And, you know, usually paying off that salary pretty well. So for me, I'm still going Graham ahead of Walker based on talent alone. But I do think Walker's in he is in the best spot that you could possibly be in for a tight end.
Do you like any of the cheaper choices?
Yeah, I do just want to mention Bennett and Gronk really fast. Bennett, I'm not going to be playing this week because his price is kind of shot up or whatever. But I do think that this is a nice tournament situation for Gronk. His snaps pretty much went back up to full time last week, and even though he didn't get the red zone looks and everything, he still is going to be a a vocal part of that offense. So I really like him in terms of tournaments. Kobe Fleener against Carolina. I think that this is going to be a situation where, again, it's going to be a shootout style game. And, you know, Kobe Fleener has had another bye week to, you know, kind of, you'll learn the offense.
Learn
more.
The plays.
Yeah. I mean, he'll never learn to not drop the ball. So he'll continually drop the ball. But between weeks 3 and 4, the Panthers gave up 3 touchdowns to tight ends. One of them to Kyle Rudolph. They gave up a tight end or a touchdown to Austin Hooper and Jacob Tammy, both in the Atlanta game. Certainly Kobe Fleener is just as good as them. Vance McDonald scored a touchdown against them in week 2 for 75 yards. So, I mean, this Carolina defense just isn't the same. They're not giving up as many receptions, but they are giving up big games to tight ends this year. Kyle Rudolph is half as good as Kobe Fleener in terms of being a pass catcher. So I think that $3,500 for Fleener is a solid place to go. In terms of, you know, really cheap options, I really like Jesse James this week. He's, you know, $3,000. Miami, again, I kind of, you know, made my voice heard about the Pittsburgh and Miami game. But I do think Jesse James, you know, he's getting a ton of red zone looks for Pittsburgh. And if it's not Le'Veon Bell getting the touchdowns, I think Jesse James can certainly end up with one. Really like Charles Clay for $2,900. He has had some soreness in his knee this week, so he is questionable, but he's likely to play. He got in a limited practice today on Thursday when we're recording. So I really like Charles Clay. He's gotten 12 targets over the last couple of weeks. He has, you know, been able to kind of salvage a pretty lost season up to this point. So 12 points against Atlanta or against LA last week, 70 yards receiving, over 110 or 120 yards receiving the last couple of weeks total. I think that at $2,900, you could do worse against San Fran. And then the last guy I'll go with is I'm sorry, I can't find him. Hold on a second. Oh,
you're fired.
Yeah, my bad. Vance McDonald is the last guy I was going to mention. And the only reason I'm going to mention Vance McDonald is because the Bills have been really bad against the tight end position this year. Colin Kaepernick is going to be starting this week for the San Francisco 49ers, in case anybody didn't find that out. And he, if you don't remember, heavily targeted his tight end position, Vernon Davis. So, you know, Garrett Celek is the other option if Vance McDonald doesn't play. But I do think if McDonald plays, he is a, you know, absolutely, you know, tournament option only tight end if you wanted to go that route. $2,500 is the price, so essentially minimum.
Let's wrap this up. Defenses, other than Jacksonville against my Brian Hoyer.
Yeah, I like Jacksonville on the lower end. Buffalo against San Fran, that's a pretty obvious pick. They've been just going nuts in terms of sacking the quarterback the last few weeks. San Fran is pretty bad in terms of their offensive line play. And, you know, again, for the season, the defensive line is, you know, giving up 17 sacks for the Bills. So you got to like that. That leads to turnovers as well. I really like the Seahawks this week against Atlanta. I think that this is a sleeper defense as well, because, you know, the Bills are right up top. So people will probably forget about it. But the Seattle defensive line, I think, will be able to get to Atlanta, even though their offensive line has played really well this year. The Falcons, I just think that this is a really nice spot for Seattle. The Titans against Cleveland is probably going to be the chalkiest of chalk defenses. You know, the Titans have been really solid at stuffing the run this year, which is pretty much all Cleveland's got. You know, Cody Kessler can't pass the ball more than 20 yards, and the Titans have been solid against the pass as well. So, I mean, they're forcing sacks. They're pretty much controlling the line of scrimmage. There's not a lot to dislike there in terms of you know, any of those three defenses. I like Philadelphia against Washington. Kirk Cousins is one of the most error-prone quarterbacks in the league. Matt Jones has a fumbling problem. DeSean Jackson has an attitude problem slash life problem. So, I mean, the Washington offense in general could certainly lead to a good fantasy day for the Eagles defense. And like I said, other than that, I'm going to be rolling with probably the Jaguars in a few tournaments. I don't mind going that route, and that's about it. I think the rest of them is you're going to be trying to bank on maybe a return score, which is another reason I like Seattle. I think Tyler Lockett, you know, does a really good job of returning kicks and could certainly return one against Atlanta this week.
All right. Well, good luck. I hope Ted Ginn wins you $1 million.
I hope he wins you $1 million. Wait, you're not going to play him?
No, I will. I actually, I'm in a 16-team season long, and he's in my season long. So I'm going to double up on Ted Ginn.
That's a complete shot in the dark. Hopefully it works out. We'll see. I mean, as usual, though, I like talking DFS with you. I know I do a lot more of the talking, which isn't optimal. We definitely need to change that up. But I appreciate you listening to me blab.
Yeah, but you have all the facts, and I just have my eyes from watching all the games.
Well, if people aren't following you, they should follow you so they can see your actual eyes. You are, you know, you are much better to look at than me or Justin. So,
I mean, if they're going to follow me, they're going to follow me for my tits, not my eyes. And that is at Sasha Salinger on Twitter. And Mike, where can we get all the – you are very good at live tweeting. You were doing a lot of Giants-Cubs live tweeting and the Bennett interview tweeting the E60.
If there's one thing that you people do in life – please watch the Martellus Bennett E60. It's literally gold. You will have a brand new favorite player in your life, and that's Martellus Bennett. Like
he does not hold back.
No, he is like the his nickname is Black Unicorn, for Christ's sake, but like he's like a big black tight end version of Skip Bayless, who is even more hard. Like, if that makes sense. He's like he's just somebody that doesn't give a shit. Like, and I can really appreciate that about him.
It's
humble.
So refreshing because now in like the NFL and NBA, you get fined for everything. So the players are so cautious, but he's just doesn't give a shit.
He doesn't. Like, he says what he means what he says, doesn't care about what he says, doesn't care about who, you know, he talks to. And, you know, if you disrespect him, I mean, it's just, it's amazing. And honestly, I don't think that there's a better fit in this world than him being with the Patriots. So it's just it's awesome that he gets the opportunity to play with the Patriots now, and that, you know, just watching his journey, it was an amazing show to watch. I mean, I'm making it sound all serious, which it kind of is serious, but at the end of the day, like, his outlook on life and his personality is, to me, the best thing about him, even above football. Like, I just I loved watching it. His brother used to play for the Bucks as well, Michael Bennett, so I have a kind of a closeness to my
soft
heart
spot.
Yeah, soft spot is a better way to put it. But yeah, you can check me out on Twitter at Mike Warner FWFB as usual. I just hit 1,000 Twitter followers, so appreciate you for following
God
me. And
damn it, I'm at like 960 something.
Beat you. No,
got me. I know.
Immediately after I tweeted out, like, thank you for getting me to 1,000 followers, I dropped like 5. So I probably should have announced that again. That's but
it's weird. I definitely have some like weird bots in there. So I like give or take 20.
Yeah, that's pretty much. I have like a soft, you know, 15. So I say, you know, maybe 985 is where I'm at right now. But regardless, I appreciate you for following me. I do tweet out a lot. So, you know, I usually tweet out my DFS picks as well. If you want my full DFS lineup, I'm willing to give that out to you. If you send me a screenshot of giving a 5-star review on iTunes for the DFS podcast or the fantasy football podcast, I'll definitely do that for you. Play it in cash games, though. Don't play it in tournaments.
You whore.
I know. It's a pretty whorish thing to do.
I love that. That's good.
Only like 3 people did that last week. So, I mean, definitely take it. I that lineup I sent out too had Sammy Coates, had Martellus Bennett, and had Cameron Meredith. I'm just going to, and Big Ben.
Basically, if you want to make money, you should give us 5 stars.
Yeah, it takes 2
seconds.
You're
just like promising people money.
Yeah.
You're bribing people.
It's I'm 100% bribing. So, you know, take that for what it's worth. If you feel like I'm doing something wrong by doing that, then I apologize. Then don't, you know, tweet me for it. But if you
I don't think you're doing anything wrong. I think it's great.
Yeah, I do too. So take advantage. Take advantage of me and my bribe. But yeah, check out my stuff on friendswithfantasybenefits.com. We're putting up ranks every week. We have Justin and I's preview show, multiple articles coming up on the site every week. We have a whole football page that has the stats and standings and all that type of jazz. A lot going on. We have you, Sasha, so we're popping.
Well, you guys, and it's also baseball playoffs, so I know people who aren't normally big baseball aficionados are actually now tuning in. So you guys are really great at baseball as well, so definitely tune in for that if you want a little brush up on these playoff teams.
Absolutely, yeah. We're addicted to everything, essentially.
Just if there's a sport in it, that's what we want to watch. We want to go out and socialize with people. We just want to be on our computers and look at sports stuff.
We're addicted to everything except for continuous female interaction because we love sports so much. That's pretty much how it comes down to. If you're looking for lady advice, you're in the wrong place.
Yeah, I can't help you either. Bitches are crazy. That's
you
all
put,
I can tell you.
You put on a good
be careful.
Front, but you really hate us. It's okay.
No, I if I hate it, well, that's why I took a 3-week break.
Yeah. I don't hate you, but I'll see
me.
You in November.
Yeah. No, you guys will see me next week, and good luck to everyone.